Off the Ball.
GAA. Credit to Shane, because I suppose all the talk has been about, oh, when's Shane Ryan back? And when he's back, he'll have to come straight back in. And that can't be easy to be listened to either. So, no, massive credit to Shane. He's been brilliant this year and really cemented
join
his place.
In the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello, welcome along to Wednesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, Norway, France and Mexico all advanced to the last 16 at the World Cup. Tonight, England, DR Congo, Belgium, Senegal, the USA and Bosnia-Herzegovina will look to do the same. And Ronald Koeman calls it a day with the Netherlands after their exit at the hands of Morocco. But first up, Mexico cruised into the last 16 of the World Cup with a comfortable 2-0 win over Ecuador at the Azteca Stadium. Julian Quiñones and Raul Jimenez both scored in the first half for the co-hosts, who won their first knockout game since 1986. Javier Aguirre's side will get to play in Mexico City for their last 16 clash, which will be against England or DR Congo on Sunday. A thunderstorm in Mexico's capital had pushed the kickoff back by an hour. Arsenal defender Piero Hincapié was sent off late on for Ecuador. He became the second player at this tournament to be shown a red card for covering his mouth while speaking to an opponent. Mexico's record at the Azteca is formidable. They've played 89 games, won 70, drawn 17 and only lost 2. They're also unbeaten in their last 10 World Cup games there. Ecuador boss Sebastian Bekachiche has quit as manager after their elimination. Kylian Mbappe became the all-time leading goal scorer in World Cup knockout games. France showed why they're many people's favourites for the tournament. With a comfortable 3-0 win over Sweden in New Jersey, it sets up a last 16 tie with Paraguay. A strike in each half took Mbappe to 10 goals in the knockout stages. The France captain has 6 goals at this tournament, which moves him level in the golden boot race with Lionel Messi, who Mbappe trails by 1 goal in the all-time goal-scoring charts. Bradley Barcola scored the other goal in the win over Graham Potter's side. Mbappe has 18 goals now in total at World Cups, but he says matching or overtaking Messi isn't his main focus.
No. The aim is to go as far as possible, to make it to July the 19th, to come back here and try to win. We're taking it step by step. Then, of course, the more goals you score, the higher you climb in the table. I focus more on the opponents we might face and how close we're getting to our goal.
That France and Paraguay game will be played in Philadelphia on Saturday night in the last 16. Erling Haaland tapped home a late winner for Norway, who beat Ivory Coast 2-1 to set up a last 16 showdown with Brazil. The Manchester City striker had been quiet enough in Dallas before that goal in the 86th minute. Antonio Nusa put Norway ahead 6 minutes before half-time with a stunning goal, and Amad Diallo's equaliser 16 minutes from time was every bit as impressive. Haaland has scored in 13 competitive internationals in a row for Norway. It was Norway's first win in the knockout stages of a World Cup, and attention now turns to Brazil on Sunday night in New Jersey. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. England will aim to avoid being the latest nation to suffer an upset in the last 32 when they face DR Congo later today. Germany and the Netherlands have already gone out in the knockout stages. The two-time Africa Cup of Nations winners have already drawn 1-1 with Portugal at this tournament. Manager Sebastian de Sabra says they've shown they can come out on top in a shootout as well if needed.
We won against Nigeria in penalty. Also, we won in Egypt, in AFCON, in Ivory Coast. And we have a lot of possibility on penalty. We can swift as a goalkeeper also.
Former Chelsea and Fulham midfielder Gael Kakuta knows his side will have to be at their best against England.
Details, small details make a big difference. Even more against big teams, you get punished directly. So we are working on all those games, the mistakes that we did, to try to correct them. And now we're looking forward to the game.
As for England, their manager Thomas Tuchel admits the pressure's on his team. It's the first time DR Congo have reached the knockout stages of the tournament. Tuchel says they've overachieved and will play with no fear.
A physical team, a quick team, a devoted team, a team that we arrive as favourites and they can play in the role of an underdog, which suits them very well, of course, and all this is on the table.
Tuchel will have some selection issues. Both Jurel Kwanzaa and Reece James are out due to injury. Midfielder Morgan Rogers says they can't wait to get into knockout football.
When it gets a knockout, that brings the best out of people. Mm. It brings the competitive nature of our squad. It brings everything you dream of. The big moments you remember in World Cups, in Euros, they're always games on the line, deciders, and a bit of quality, a magic moment, and that sticks in the memory.
Tuchel also says he's expecting narrow margins and hasn't ruled out the prospect of penalties. On Monday, the Morocco goalkeeper Yassine Bounou's save sent the Netherlands out of the tournament. England goalkeeper Jordan Pickford says that was inspirational.
We've got our routines, and you see it with Bono with his savers. It's a different save, and he put them off, and that happens. But that's football. Everyone's different, and it's about execution and repetition, and that's what we're prepared for.
On Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, sports writer John Bruin joined Colin Bouig and Ger Gilroy, and John explained why this could be England's most shocking result if they were to lose to DR Congo.
Let's be quite honest here. If England lose to DR Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, that's the greatest shame of all time for England at a World Cup.
Bigger than America in 1950?
In living memory, shall we say.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But, you know, I was some of the previews were pointing out that it was 10 years, I think yesterday, since the Iceland game back in 2016, Euro 2016, of which there are three survivors within the England squad, Jordan Henderson, John Stones, Harry Kane. That was, as an Englishman, that was not so much a shame as the highest of comedy, farce, but actually a reset moment as well. That was it. And in a way, we could maybe look upon that as a something, a force for good. I don't think England losing in Atlanta would be seen as quite that because of the vast expense of hiring Thomas Tuchel, the expectations that have been built up over the recent years in the England team, and the quality of the players that we've got. Now, I do not expect England to win the World Cup, but I expect them the quarterfinals at the least. Though the last 16 tie may be tricky should they go to face Mexico at the Azteca. But losing at this stage, because this is the thing about this World Cup, isn't it? We've talked about this before, Jer, how baggy the tournament's been. It felt like the first round, the group stage, was just a showpiece of various teams, of just stuff happening. You're confronted, aren't you, with actual knockout football, which almost seems a novelty after all this, you know, permutations and countbacks and all the rest of it, and how difficult it is for teams, and the spectre of penalties that the Germans and the Dutch have come across. And this is it. This is where it starts for England. And so for him to focus and be realistic like that, I think that's refreshing. It's just that as a nation, any nation, I suspect, expects a bit more upbeat, a bit more, let's do this, we can win the World Cup. But then again, the one England manager that turned up and said we can win the World Cup was Alf Ramsey, and everyone poo-pooed him. There's no easy way of doing it, is there?
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. That game in Atlanta kicks off at 5. At 9, Belgium will take on Senegal in Seattle for a place in the last 16. Belgium are unbeaten in their 3 games so far in the tournament. They drew at Egypt and Iran, but then hammered New Zealand 5-1 to top the group. Senegal were third in their group behind France and Norway, and they beat Iraq in their final game by 5-0 to qualify as one of the best third place teams. Later tonight, the USA will hope to continue their run deep into the knockouts. Mauricio Pochettino's side topped a group which contained Paraguay, Turkey and Australia. They take on Bosnia-Herzegovina, who were third in Group C behind Canada and Switzerland. It's the first competitive clash between the two teams after 3 friendly meetings. The US don't have a good record against European sides. The Americans have failed to win in 13 consecutive matches against European teams since a win over Northern Ireland in March of 2021. The US have lost the last 10 of those matches I mentioned. Kickoff in San Francisco is 1 a.m. Irish time. Germany continued to dissect their elimination from the tournament at the hands of Paraguay on Tuesday, with pressure on manager Julian Nagelsmann and Jurgen Klopp proving a big influence on German TV. German football expert Rafa Honigstein joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night and explained why Klopp might be waiting in the wings to take over.
There's no one quite like Klopp, and he is available. He has this very non-demanding job, I would say, as head of global football at Red Bull, where he travels a lot, but also spends a lot of time playing padel in Mallorca, on going to the Olympics, and now spending 6 weeks in America as a pundit for German television, so it can't be that taxing. And it was clear from the outset that his name, if this World Cup would end in some kind of disappointment, that he'd be the first name on everyone's lips. And I think it made the World Cup quite awkward for Nagelsmann to see his possible successor in the studio, or, you know, on the ground, on television, after every game, asking him sometimes questions, or at least being in the conversation. It didn't help, I think, Nagelsmann's course. But no, Klopp has publicly not commented, but he hasn't said no either. And people who are close to him are pretty certain that he wants the job if it's offered to him. And I think the German FA are in a position where they have to do it. If he then says no, things become a bit more difficult, because there is, as I said earlier, there's no one like Jürgen Klopp in terms of status. He would come into contention. Then you'd have to look elsewhere. But I'd be surprised if they're not going for Klopp, and if Klopp were to say no. So I think the next manager is going to be Jürgen Klopp.
Ronald Koeman has resigned as Netherlands boss after their exit from the tournament. The Dutch lost on penalties to Morocco in the last 32 in the early hours of yesterday. It's the end of Koeman's second spell in charge of his national team. He returned 3 years ago after being in the role from 2018 to 2020. Dutch journalist Auke Kok explained to Owen what the feeling was around Koeman and the Dutch team at this tournament.
So to speak, you know, Holland hardly had any initiative, and it was a bit of a play of cowards, so to speak, and that's not what we want to see in Holland. The way Morocco played was the kind of game that I grew up with Orange in Holland. You know, it was very with many movements, a very good technique, very for the attack, and at the same time streetwise, you know, like the Dutch team played in the 70s and the 80s. That's what Morocco did last night. It was for me really a very disappointing event to watch this all, and so it was really strange that Holland was leading 1-0 until the last minutes, because I think Morocco deserved to win all over. In 2 full hours of football, I think Holland had only 2 shots on the goal. That's ridiculous. That's not playing football at all, and that's not football. I must tell you, I really felt ashamed last night.
And the football show is available to listen back to now in your OTB football podcast feed. Tottenham are due to smash their transfer record after agreeing a deal to sign West Ham midfielder Mateus Fernandes. The fee for the Portugal international is believed to be around £85 million. Coventry boss Frank Lampard says he wants to continue the spirit and togetherness they've built next season. Former Chelsea and England midfielder signed a new deal, which will keep him at the club until 2029 after winning the championship title. Lampard is preparing for the club's return to the Premier League for the first time in 25 years. Liverpool have completed the signing of France under 21 defender Jeremy Jacquet from Rennes. The deal could rise to €70 million. And Galway GAA goalkeeper Conor Gleeson has signed for Galway United on a short-term contract, with Evan Watts recalled from his loan deal by parent club Swansea. Gleeson was in goal for Galway's All-Ireland quarter-final loss to Dublin at Croke Park on Sunday. Lee Kavanagh has also joined John Caulfield's side on loan from Bohemians until the end of this season. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.